Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Billy Crocker. Thank you so much for listening again today. This is kind of an episode follow-up from yesterday's listening, where we talked about the Confederate flag. I also want to go ahead and take this opportunity to discuss some of the upcoming shows that we're going to be doing here on Real American Man. I really hope that that we can turn this show into something that is interactive. I'd love to have you call in. I want you to go ahead and plug this number into your phone if you're listening today, or if you're listening at a later time even. You can download all of our podcast on iTunes. You can listen to them on our Facebook page at facebook.com/realamericanman. You also can find us, of course, on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/realamericanman. We would love to hear from you and would love to be able to have you call in. So plug this number in your phone, save it as Real American Man. This is going to be the number every time. Doesn't matter what show we're doing. If it's Real American Man, if I'm on here, then this is going to be the call-in number. So go ahead and put this down in your phone, 323-642-1089. Once again, that's going to be 323-642-1089. Would love to have you call in this this morning, this afternoon, or like I say, if you can get a hold of us on our Facebook page, that would be great as well. Okay, so like I said, the first part of this episode, I just want to talk about what we're going to be doing in the upcoming episodes. Now, this is not necessarily a specific drawn-out plan as far as day by day, but more of to give you an idea of what we're about here at Real American Man, what it is that we're trying to promote, what values we're trying to share with you, and the hope, the vision, the goal. Why are we doing this? What's the purpose? And so that's what I want to talk to you about first. And don't go away, because on the second half of this show, the last 15 minutes, we will be going back and talking about what we spoke about last night, the issues of the Confederate flag in reference to Christianity, and what our roles as conservative believers should be in response to the issues with the Confederate flag. So you're not going to want to miss that. If you'd like to call in on today's show, we'd love to hear from you. So don't hesitate to go ahead and give us a call at any time, and we'll put you in the queue. And as soon as we have a moment, we'll go ahead and speak to you on the air. Now, like I say, this is a live show right now this morning, but it will be, it is recorded, and so it will be on Blog Talk Radio at all times for you, as well as on iTunes. And so you can go to iTunes, into the podcast, and search for Real American Man, and you will see it come up. We are doing a little bit of changes with our logo right now, and so you may see some differences in our logo. We are trying to get feedback from our listeners. So if you go to our Facebook page, please make sure that you like it, that you like that page so that you can get the updates. And then as well, you will see a post on there just from the past couple days where we have talked about our logo, and we've posted some pictures on there, and would love to hear from you some feedback on that. All right, so what are we going to be talking about, and what is our goal? Let me just state first what our purpose is, what we're trying to accomplish. You know, the general idea behind Real American Man is that we have grown into a country where while our population has increased, our morality has decreased. No longer is it a thing to be proud of anything. You know, you're not supposed to be proud of your heritage. You're not supposed to be proud of your where you're the state that you come from. You're, if you've been in the military, you're not supposed to be proud of your specific family. You're not supposed to be proud of the country that you're a part of. You know, you shouldn't be proud to be an American. You're not supposed to be proud of the sex that God created you to be. And so this is the way that society is going. We don't want to be proud of anything. You know, I know that the scripture talks about pride, and it says that pride comes before the fall and so forth. And, you know, there's a big difference in pride that becomes haughty, pride that becomes, that overtakes you, that causes you to be a different person. Arrogance, you know, that's a big difference in being arrogant and simply being proud of where you've come from. You know, it's important that that we understand our history and our heritage, that we know what made this country, what founded this country, the bad and the good. You know, there's a lot of thought out there that in schools across the country for the past several decades that we've been teaching our children, and I would be a part of that group within the past several decades that was in a public school, where we've been teaching our children that basically that America is all good, no bad, we never did anything wrong. You know, but I tell you, I can remember learning about the Trail of Tears in high school. And of course, you are likely familiar with the Trail of Tears, where really the government did kind of a bad thing, not just kind of a bad thing, but they did a bad thing in reference to the Native Americans that were here. And it certainly was a low point in American history, as well as slavery was an issue that that was taught in school, not the, you know, that it was a good thing, but that it was a bad thing, that that was also a low point in this nation's history, and that we should be looking for opportunities to mend that broken relationship between the American society and the African Americans that are in our communities and across our country, those that have worked hard, those that have tried very, very tirelessly to fight for equal rights, the ability to vote, the ability to use the same water fountain as we use, the ability to go to the same school as a white person would go to. And the same thing goes for the feminism movement as well. You know, while I think that it's gotten to a point now where it's somewhat overboard when it comes to the feminist movement, where, you know, where there is no difference between a man and a woman, because quite frankly, there is biologically and objectively, there is something that we just cannot deny when it comes to the difference between a man and a woman and the roles that that we play. Now, I would agree that that men have failed in their role. And that's something that's I want to be a big topic on the show. That's something that I'm going to be pushing for, is to discuss the ways that we as men have kind of fallen by the wayside, and we're not performing in our homes as husbands and as fathers in the way that we ought to. Now, that's not a hit below the belt to any specific person or anything like that. Let me tell you, I'm not saying that from a perspective of arrogance or that I have got it all figured out, because I don't. My desire, my hope would be to have some experts on the matter, because I'm certainly not an expert, to come onto the show, and I'm going to do the legwork on that. You know, that's been something that's been kind of difficult. I've had a lot of different jobs over the past couple of years, and my schedule has changed a lot. And so it's been very difficult to maintain the show and to create a schedule that you can commit to. You know, if you knew that this show was going to come on, dedicate, you know, definitely, committedly, every Tuesday night at such and such time, you know, maybe 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., every Tuesday night, Central Time, then that might be something where then you'd actually be able to be a live listener and actually call into the show. And so that's what I'm trying to promote. That's what I'm trying to accomplish. But that has been a difficult task. Nevertheless, that's kind of what I'm hoping to be able to have, is some type of interaction on the show, whether that be with guest co-host or simply guest on the show that can discuss these matters. I would love for just every regular Joe Schmo out there, because that's all I am, is just a regular Joe. I'd love for you to call in as well. To be able to share your opinion and your feelings on the matters, and so definitely something that I'm hoping that we can get done. The other thing is too, is that I think that that when it comes down to it, that, you know, a lot of us have stuck our heads in the sand when it comes to the issues of elections. Politics is something that is very annoying for most people. They say that, you know, politics and religion are the two things that you don't talk about in public, that you don't talk about that in your workplace, you don't talk about those things in the school or, you know, or whatever. It's very, very important that we start discussing these issues, because the reality of it is that it's politicians that have left a bad taste in our mouth on the issue of politics, whenever in reality, listen, folks, we need to take that back. You know, it's not fair in the grand scheme of things that politicians have robbed the joy, the blessing of the election process from us, okay, and understand it in this way, that the reason why the election process is there, the reason why we should care, the reason why it's set up in the way it was initially set up was for us. You see, this thing called democracy, this republic that we have, because that's really what it is a republic, is the way it was created, but that's conversations for another day. But this republic that we have is set up in a way that that we have a voice. Well, if we don't know the issues, if we don't know the topics, now, it's hard. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to know every issue from A to Z. There's no doubt about that. It is very, very difficult to know every issue from A to Z. And I don't know necessarily that that is all completely important to know every single issue from A to Z. But we certainly should be abreast of the topics that are in this country that are major, that are changing our lives. You know, we just had a Supreme Court that made a decision for the entire country in the issue of traditional marriage. Now, the general thought process is that most people just simply don't care. It's not that they are for it or against it, but they just simply do not care. They themselves do not want to be a homosexual, but they don't care if someone else does, and if they choose to get married, then so be it, and that's fine. And so that's kind of the attitude that a lot of people have on the issue of homosexual marriage and with abortion. You know, that's something that has been in the courts for a long time. You have an innocent child that has no say in the matter, and they don't get a say in the matter, and we allow a person to choose to end that child's life. And, you know, I think a bigger debate, and one that is more of an honest discussion, is when it involves rape and incest. That topic, that is something that is more of an honest debate and one that's fair to the child, I think. I still think that in issues of rape and incest, that child should still be allowed to live. If you need to have that child be adopted because you cannot personally deal with that because of the trauma associated with that child, I understand that. That's fine. But don't end the child's life. While it wasn't your fault necessarily, possibly, that you were raped, and I'm sure 9 times out of 10 that's the case, which, I mean, I don't think that it's ever anyone's fault that necessarily that they were raped. But I guess what I'm getting at is that if you're in that situation where this is how this child has come about through some type of means that is traumatic for you, that's fine. And like I say, I get it that you were not a part of that decision process to have that child to become pregnant, but this other person was, right? And maybe they didn't want you to have a child out of it. But the fact of the matter is that the let's talk about the unspoken voice, and that is the child. You know, it's very interesting to me that you can, you know, turn on the TV and you'll see commercial after commercial come by from PETA and other organizations putting sad little puppies on the screen with puppy dog eyes and saying don't abuse animals. And I agree with that. You shouldn't abuse animals. And so we have a heart for dogs and cats and lemurs and lions and all this, but we don't have a heart for children, for unborn children. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It just makes no sense at all. And so I want to make sure that we bring out the issues of pro-life and the importance of pro-life and that movement and how important that is for us. And then also I do absolutely want to talk about the conservative values in the home, the traditional values that this nation was founded upon, and how that is critical in going forward. When it comes to, let me take a few steps back and say that when it comes to, like, for example, the issue of homosexual marriage, the issue is not whether or not they love each other, whether or not they feel that this is how they were born. That is for them to debate within their heart and within their mind. I agree, okay, that is their choice. That's absolutely right. But when we come into the issue of marriage in the home, and that's what we're talking about, okay, they want to have a role in the home. They want to change the definition of the traditional home. No longer is it a mother and a father. It could be a mother and a mother or a father and a father. And so what we've done is we've said, In that movement, we're saying that one of these roles is not as critical as the other one, that we don't necessarily need a mother and a father. And unfortunately, you know, the thing is that, listen, folks, we've caused that debate. We have caused that issue. We don't think about it anymore like that, but we have caused that issue. As mothers and fathers, we have let our children down. And, you know, and I'm not necessarily speaking to my generation, because we have young children. We're young ourselves, my wife and I. But to, you know, to my parents, I think that my parents did a fairly good job. But certainly, a lot of parents did not. And you hear these stories where their father was not a part of their life, their mother was not a part of their life, or they were there but they weren't really present, or they were present but they weren't really there. You know, they were on drugs or alcohol, or the dad was addicted to pornography, or he was sleeping around and cheating on his wife, or whatever. But that we have this messed up mindset of what a family is. And you conservative, you have to give an ear to the liberal heads, talking heads out there that are saying that, look, what do you mean traditional family values? Because look at the rate of divorce. Look at the rate of fatherless homes. Look at the rate of the child abuse and sexual abuse in the home. That's traditional. Now, that's obviously not what traditional values are, and we know that as conservatives, but you got to give a listen to what the liberals are saying and the point that they're trying to make, because it's a fair point that in the battle of traditional values and you know, how does that work? You know, what is the makeup of a traditional home, and what are the effects of that? Is that beneficial or is it not beneficial? There's statistics that tell you that it is beneficial, but when we don't do it right, you see, even if you've got a mom and a dad at home, but if you don't do it right, if the marriage isn't right, if the parenting isn't right, if the attitude of the dad or the attitude of the mom or the as the husband and the wife or as the mom and dad of the children, if we don't do these things right, then we're just as bad for the children as having two moms or two dads. And so you still end up with children that are out there abusing drugs and getting abused sexually and physically and emotionally. And you have children that are out there that are violating the law and are out running around and getting into trouble and ending up in jail and worse and dead on the streets. And you got kids that are going around shooting people and killing people. And this is the result of, listen, let's take a look in the mirror here, folks. This is the result of traditional homes. Traditional homes. Not, you know, all those things were happening before the homosexual marriage got approved. Before the Supreme Court came in and said, you have to recognize homosexual marriages. Folks, we lost our fight on the proof that a traditional home is better for a child. But look, it's not that the traditional home is bad for a child. It's that we haven't been doing traditional home right in decades and decades and decades. And we haven't been doing it right for a long, long time. And so we don't really have anything to base it off of other than the Word of God. And absolutely, from a conservative standpoint, that's all that I need. But from a liberal standpoint, listen, folks, we're not going to win them over by saying, this is what Scripture says. They don't care what Scripture says. They say, put your money where your mouth is. And they've got a fair point. And we've got to give an ear to that. We've got to listen to that. We've got to listen to that. As you can tell, that's something that we'll talk about a lot on the show. Certainly got into a little bit of a soapbox with that. But it's something that's really important to me. I think that we have completely missed traditional values in the traditional home. And we'll talk about that a lot in the upcoming episodes. So stay tuned. Definitely stay tuned for that and be listening in for that. Okay. The next thing that I want to make sure that we bring out that is very, very important to me, very near and dear to my heart. For some of you that may not have a role in this in one way or another, and you'll understand what I'm saying here in just a second, this may not mean much to you. I hope, though, I pray that you will still listen. And the reason why I pray that you will still listen to these episodes that deal with this issue is because it does affect you, and I'll explain. Veterans, okay, that's an issue that's near and dear to my heart because I myself am a veteran. I deployed to Iraq twice when I was in the United States Air Force. And to my fellow veterans out there, yes, I actually did get out from behind a desk on regular occasion. So I was definitely Like I said, I was in Iraq twice. I deployed a total of three times. My third deployment, I won't even mention because it was more like a vacation. And certainly other veterans will know about those kind of deployments as well. But my first two deployments, I went to Iraq the first time. I did not have any family back home, really. And then obviously I had my mom and my dad and that. But then my second deployment to Iraq, I was married. Had only been married for just a little over three to 5 months. And so that definitely was a challenge. It was my second deployment to Iraq that I came back with a lot of issues with PTSD and these sorts of things. It's a very hard thing to discuss, but it's something that needs to be discussed. Veterans, we all need to know and we need to understand and we need to see and hear that we are not alone in this fight. And a lot of veterans feel like that they're all alone. You get back from the military and you get back into your hometown and you've changed a lot. You've seen things that other people have not seen. Everyone else has still had their normal day-to-day life of getting up and going to work Monday through Friday and going fishing and going doing whatever they want to do. But your life changed drastically during that course of that deployment for however long it was. And you come back with these deep issues that are very, very hard to translate into the civilian world. You come back and you want to withdraw from society. You want to ignore the realities that are around you. And so all of these things are very, very important. And so not just PTSD, but we have a lot of veterans that have come back with TBI, traumatic brain injury. Of course, PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. There is a lot of avenues of assistance out there, and I hope that I'm going to have listeners from all over the country. We're located here in North Texas, but I hope that I'm able to speak to veterans from all over the country. I have a huge appreciation in my heart for all veterans from all branches of the military, all five branches, that is the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, the Army, and the Coast Guard. I have an extreme appreciation for them. The other thing that I want to make sure that we talk about as well is the issues facing our first responders in this country. Certainly that has been a hot topic issue of debate of the rights of police officers and firefighters. Has not necessarily been a debate with firefighters, but we certainly need to appreciate them as well and the experiences that they go through, as well as our EMS teams out there. We really do appreciate everything that you all do, and I want to make sure that we do not forget you on this show and that we talk about these issues on a regular basis. And so I'm hoping to be able to bring up avenues of help for veterans and for police officers and other first responders out there for you. And I'm hoping to have some people on the show that can give us some assistance, give us some direction. I do want to mention to you while I'm on the show, actually, I want to go ahead and give a plug for Canines for Warriors. Canines for Warriors was started by Sherry Duvall out in Florida, Ponte Verde Beach, Florida. And Canines for Warriors exist for, it's a service dog operation, and they get these dogs from local shelters. These are dogs that were actually, I think, even shelters from across the country, but they get these dogs out of shelters, and so they are dogs that are going to be very possibly put down if they are not able to be adopted. They adopt these dogs, or I guess they go and take ownership of these dogs. They train them. Of course, they have to meet certain standards, these dogs. And they train them to become a service dog for a veteran. And the biggest things, the three major things that they promote on their website is PTSD, TBI, and military sexual trauma. But they are there specifically for veterans. Now, there's service dog operations all over the country, but a lot of the operations that are out there are for are generic. And so they're not just for military, but they are for people from all walks of life. And that's a great thing. Because there are a lot of people that need service dogs for various reasons. The other thing that you have, too, in a lot of situations is that there will be service dogs for veterans, but there will only be for veterans with physical disabilities, which absolutely they need a special kind of service dog as well. Whenever they have these physical disabilities, they need a little bit of extra assistance and a different kind of assistance than what a veteran would with PTSD or TBI or military sexual trauma. And so these are the things that are out there, operations like this. I want to bring those out. I want to bring those to light so that you know about them. If you go ahead and Google Canines for Warriors, same thing on Facebook. They are located on Facebook as well. And so you can find them if you type in your search bar on Facebook, Canines for Warriors, and that is the letter K, the number 9, with S, of course, for canines, for Warriors. That's Forwarriors. And so you can go ahead and search for that, but also they are on, like I say, you can search their website on Google. All right, so the other thing that I don't know, I guess I talked about a little bit, was the issue of the election, the politics. I do want to make sure that we do talk about that as well. And so so that's something else that we will definitely be talking about, obviously more so as the months go along and we get closer to the 2016 election cycle. Of course, we're already in it. A lot of candidates on the Republican side, a few candidates on the Democratic side, on the Democrat side. And so we will be discussing all of that here as well. Like I said, I know that we've got a horrible feeling about politics. A lot of people do. There's a huge distaste for politicians in general. And I understand that. I feel the exact same way. But it's something that we need to talk about. Whenever I think of real American man, you've got to be involved in your community. Listen, folks, if we don't take a stand, if we don't go and vote, if we don't take advantage of the democratic process that we have in place, the election process, then we are the only ones to blame for the outcome of this country. If we truly feel like that that things need to change, then we need to get up and we need to get moving. We need to get vocal and we need to be heard and we need to make sure that our voice is heard all the way at Washington, D.C. All right, so that's all that I'm going to talk about for now as far as in the upcoming episodes. If you have any questions or if you've got any advice or tips or hopes of what you would like to hear, do not hesitate to go ahead and get onto the Facebook page, facebook.com/realamericanman, or you can find me, of course, on Blog Talk Radio as well. I would love to hear from you and get your opinion on what you would like to see on this show. All right, so we're going to go ahead and finish this up. Now, like I told you for the part two of this episode, I want to go ahead and just make a couple closing comments. I was not able to do the show for the full 15 minutes last night like I had planned. There were some technical issues going on, and so unfortunately I was not able to finish up the show. So I want to go ahead and do that now. We were talking about the issue of whether or not the Confederate flag is something that Christians should be supporting. And I want to go ahead and make mention, first of all, just to kind of round this out a little bit, I want to say that, you know, it's very, very important that we understand that on the issue of the Confederate flag, that, and I was saying this, you know, last night as well, that, you know, the topic of conversation, the debate does not need to be whether or not the Confederate flag, whether it's got to do with heritage or hate, or that does not need to be the debate. And let me explain why. Because, you see, the thing of the matter is how people respond to it is what we really need to look at. There is an issue with race right now. Now, whenever the Trayvon Martin case happened, and then, of course, you had the Michael Brown case, these two cases definitely spurred a huge debate across the country on whether or not the racial divide in this country was getting better or worse. And most white Americans responded unanimously, particularly in the South, that race issues exist and that they don't exist, that it's a conspiracy of the liberal media, that it's not something that is really an issue. And that it's not something that that is really a concern. I want to respectfully say that, listen real quick to me, please, white conservative Americans, particularly Southern white conservative Americans. First of all, I'm you. I'm a white Southern conservative. With all due respect, it's not our place to really respond to whether or not we think that there is race issues in this country. It's just not. Because the issue of race in this country stems back to the fact that that for the longest period of time in our nation's history was used for promoting slavery, and they used the Confederate flag to do that. And here's the thing. While overwhelmingly white Americans say that there is no race issue in this country, that it's all made up, most overwhelmingly on the African-American side, they say absolutely there's still a race issue in this country. So I respectfully disagree with you, and I want to say that we need to start listening to our brothers and sisters in Christ that are stating there is still an issue. Folks, there's still an issue with race in this country. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening in to Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio. Please get on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Real American Man. And once again, I am your host, Billy Crocker. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the August 8th. Continue to listen to us. Take care and God bless.